This is Hour 2 of Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff, and a happy weekend to you wherever you are and whatever you're up to. Hey, thanks for coming back for Part 2 of the show. Today, we are all about the final weekend of March in 1941. That's right, our countdown year is also our showcase feature. And in the first hour, we had all the bonus records, the honorable mention songs that were not in the top 10 that weekend. So now we're on to the countdown, the Billboard bestsellers chart from this weekend 84 years ago. And we begin at number 10 with Jimmy Dorsey and the orchestra, with vocals by Bob Eberle, I Hear a Rhapsody.
Dear, when I hear you call so softly to me, I don't hear a call at all, I hear a rhapsody. And when your sparkling eyes are smiling at me, then soft through a starry night, I hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue when you're away. My heart longs for you, so won't you stay? My darling, hold me tight and whisper to me. Then soft through a starlit sky, I hear a rhapsody.
Jimmy Dorsey's band with Bob Eberle at number 10 this week, 1941. That was moving down the survey after peaking at number 3 for J.D. and the Boys, the first of their 11 top 10s for the year. Now, the song I Hear a Rhapsody was written by George Fragos, Jack Baker, and Dick Gaspari. Well, the tune was so popular back then, there were many versions, and it became a jazz standard. And I hope you liked it, because you're going to hear it again right now at number 9, the version by Charlie Barnett's orchestra featuring Bob Carroll.
Smiling at me, then soft through the starlit skies, I hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue when you're away. My heart longs for you, so won't you stay? My darling, hold me tight and whisper to me, then soft through a starry night, I'll hear a rhapsody.
Charlie Barnett Orchestra with Bob Carroll at the microphone and their version of I Hear a Rhapsody. Number 9 this week, 1941. They were also moving down the survey after spending 6 weeks at number 2. But the tune did make number 1 on your hit parade. In fact, it was there this weekend for its final of 9 weeks on top of that chart. And the sheet music for I Hear a Rhapsody sold the most copies of any song in America this week in 1941. Well, here in late March of 41, Franklin Roosevelt was beginning his third term as President of the United States. The Vice President was Henry Wallace, the population just over 133 million. As we mentioned, the war was going on in Europe, and while we weren't officially involved, we were gearing up. The draft had begun in America. Others were enlisting. That included Jimmy Stewart. He became the first movie star to sign up for military service. He did that on March 15th and was assigned to the Army Air Corps. He would fly 20 missions over Europe, being the lead pilot on some of those. By the end of the war, he'd be a colonel. Well, back in February, the USO was founded. The first national chairman was the famed Manhattan District Attorney, Thomas Dewey.
Debate rages over our foreign policy, present and future. That is as it should be in a democracy. No one can foretell what decisions may emerge from that debate. But in this job for your boys, for your men everywhere, there can be no debate and there can be no argument. Only one thing can we foretell. Come what may, America stands behind its men in uniform. America stands united. I thank you.
Tom Dewey, the first national campaign chairman for the USO, founded by Mary Ingram after a request from President Roosevelt, on February 4th, 1941. And we get back to the countdown from this week in 41 with Bing Crosby coming in at number 8. Here's the new San Antonio Rose.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antonio, where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above, a moonlit pass that only she would know. still hears my broken song of love. Moon, in all your splendor, know only my heart. Call back my rose, rose of San Antone. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own broken song. Empty words, I know, still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo and rose, my rose of San Antone. Still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo and rose, my rose of San Antone.
It's Bing Crosby with Brother Bob's Orchestra and the new San Antonio Rose, a version of Bob Wills' 1938 country classic. The updated version would sell a million for Bing, and that was Survey Song number 8 this week in 1941. It would move up one more spot. Well, here in 1941, the average wages were $1,500 a year. That's just under $34,000 today. We were still in the Depression in March of 41, with unemployment near 20%. All right, well, let's take some of our money and go shopping. For grocery items, milk, which was usually delivered, 15 cents a quart. Bread was 10 cents. Coffee, 25 cents a pound. Butter was 40 cents a pound. Eggs, 27 cents a dozen. A 5-pound bag of flour, 19 cents. It was a quarter for a 5-pound bag of sugar. Box of cereal, about 10 cents. Well, and produce, peaches, 3 for 27 cents. Grapefruit, a dozen for 12 cents. And 2 dozen oranges, a quarter. 5 cents for a Coke or Pepsi or Orange Crush, if you prefer. Grab a few bars of soap. Lux, Lifebuoy, 3 of those for 17 cents. Now, if you went for Ivory, that was 3 for 25. Crisco, a 3-pound can, 46 and a half cents. At the meat counter, pork chops were 29 cents a pound, and steak was 35 cents a pound. And for dessert, we'll grab some Jell-O.
Jell-O's rich, glowing colors make your mouth water just to look at them. And when it comes to flavor, Jell-O is simply unrivaled. In its grand flavor, you enjoy a rich refreshment that reminds you of juicy ripe fruits fresh from tree or vine. And no other dessert, we believe, can give you such swell, tantalizing goodness or offer you more downright pleasure. So order several packages of Jell-O from your grocer, choosing any or all of Jell-O's 6 delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, or lime. Incidentally, strawberry, raspberry, and cherry Jell-O are now better than ever. Each has a new improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. And the result is a dessert of sheer delight. Treat the family to a rich, shimmering mold of Jell-O tomorrow.
Don Wilson pitching Jell-O on the Jack Benny program this weekend, 1941. 3 boxes for a dime. And after our shopping, if we had about 50 cents left over, we might buy the new Gene Krupa record. The one at number 7.
High on a windy hill, I feel my heart stand still. Oh, I can hear you calling my name. Into a misty shadows calling in vain. Why are you just beyond me? When will I see your face? Just leave me and leave me this lonely space, oh, into eternity. Your love will beckon me. I can't forget your voice that calls my name. I can't forget your voice that calls my name.
When you say Gene Krupa, you don't usually think of ballads, but that was a big hit for him here in 1941, High on a Windy Hill. After peaking at number 2, it dropped to number 7 this week, here in late March of 41, where we've gone to listen to the memories on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, we're strolling down memory lane back 84 years to late March of 1941. And we're up to number 6 on the Billboard sales chart from that week with the Glenn Miller Orchestra, I Dreamt I Dwelt in Harlem. Thank you. Glenn Miller and the orchestra, I Dreamt I Dwelt in Harlem. Arranged and co-written by Jerry Gray, and it featured the trumpet of Billy May. That was number 6 this week, 1941, moving up to number 3. And we'd hear Glenn Miller 3 nights a week on radio with his Chesterfield program. And why don't we check out what else was on the air? Well, some recent debuts. On January 7th, Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
Good evening, friends. Welcome. Welcome to the Inner Sanctum. This is Raymond, your host, teller of strange tales. Come in, if you dare.
Well, as time went on, the creaking door got even louder and creakier. With your host, Raymond. And on March 1st, the debut of Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's, where do you late meat to eat? Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy.
Ed Gardner is Archie on Duffy's Tavern. Just 5 episodes old here in late March of 41. Well, the top program this season by far was the Jack Benny Show, Sunday nights at 7 on the NBC Red Network. That was followed by Toby Reed and Bergen and McCarthy. Also Sunday night on the NBC Blue Network was Walter Winchell. CBS had Lux Radio Theater Monday night. Back to the Red Network Thursday for the Aldrich Family, Banny Bryce and Bing Crosby, while CBS had Major Bowes. Kay Kaiser's College was Wednesday night on the Red Network. And Tuesday they had Fibber McGee and Molly, followed by Bob Hope. This week his guest was Kate Smith.
Kate, I want to welcome you to the Pets in the Show. It's a thrill to have you here.
And it's a thrill to be here, Bob. Really, yours is one of my favorite radio shows. I tune your program in every single Tuesday night.
Is that a fact, Kate?
Honestly, Bob. It's become a real habit with me. In fact, I don't think I could sleep without it.
Kate Smith had 2 radio shows, a daily 15-minute program at noon Eastern, and then a variety show Friday night. Hey, and the Tommy Dorsey Band was also on radio Thursday nights at 8:30 on the Blue Network. It was called Fame and Fortune. And the song at number 5 this week came from that program. It features Frank Sinatra, Connie Haynes, and the Pied Piper. So look at me now.
I'm not the guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much.
Oh, look at you now.
I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much.
Oh, look at you now. You're a new man, better than Casanova at his best.
With a new heart, a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
So you're the guy who turned out a lover.
Yes, I'm the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things.
Bob, look at you now.
He's not the guy who cared about love, and he's not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Cared about much, but look at him now.
I'm a lover.
He never knew the technique of kissing. He never knew the thrill he could get from her touch. Never knew much, but look at him now.
Man, I really come on.
He's a new man, better than
Casanova at his best, rider.
With a new start, a brand new heart.
He's so proud he's busting his vest. So he's the guy who turned out a lover. So he's the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things.
But look at me now.
He's a new man, better than Casanova at his best. He's got some new jive and it's really fine.
Why, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
He's a lover. Yes, we know he's a lover. Yes.
I laughed at those blue diamond rings. Just one of those things.
But look at him now.
Jack, I'm ready.
look at him now.
Oh, Look at Me Now, as I mentioned, a song that came from Tommy's radio show Fame and Fortune. On the program, amateurs competed against each other, and the winner got their song published. John DeVries wrote the lyrics for that one, and Dorsey's pianist Joe Bushkin added the music. And it became a big hit for the band that would climb to number 2 and stall there for 6 weeks. That's our second record that spent a half dozen weeks in the runner-up spot. Charlie Barnett's I Hear a Rhapsody was the other. But the platter was at number 5 this week for Dorsey, Frank Sinatra, Connie Haynes, and the Pied Pipers. Well, what else was going on here in 1941? Well, some weather this weekend. Heavy rains on the West Coast. Actually, all of March had been pretty wet. And a storm was moving up the eastern seaboard this weekend. And that delighted skiers in the Smoky Mountains with snow falling 10 inches in Asheville, North Carolina. But for most of the country, skies were sunny this weekend. Now, a few weeks earlier, March 15th and 16th, there was a sudden blizzard that turned deadly. That Saturday actually began sunny and warm. Ice began melting, and a lot of the farmers quickly got their chores done so they could go to town and enjoy the day. But an intense and fast-moving Alberta Clipper virtually came out of nowhere with the force of a tornado or hurricane, and a spring day turned into a raging nightmare as 71 people died. Now, many who had gone into their towns were stranded. Some people tried to make it back home, and their car got stuck or stalled, so people got out of their car and tried to walk home and wound up freezing to death as the temperatures had plummeted. Plus, visibility was near zero with blowing snow. The winds gusted to 75 miles an hour in Duluth, 85 at Grand Forks. Snow drifts were 12 feet high in north-central Minnesota. 5 other people were killed in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, Canada. And the thing is, that area had been hit by another surprise snowstorm earlier in the season in November of 1940. Yeah, the Ides of March blizzard over the northern plains, one of the worst winter storms in American history. And now we're back to the countdown. Last hour we played Stardust from Artie Shaw. Well, to mention there was another blockbuster of his on the countdown this week, and here it is at number 4, Frenesi. Thank you. November of 1939, Artie Shaw had literally walked off the job. His band was playing on the radio from the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York, and he was just sick of the music business. So he went to Mexico to get away from it all, relax, and work on some new music. He came back to the U.S. a few months later, still under contract with RCA Victor, and he came up with a new sound, adding woodwinds and strings to his jazz orchestra. And that revamping paid off with that tune, a song he brought back from Mexico, Frenesi. Now, the platter was released in the spring of 1940, but didn't really catch on. And that's probably because Frenesi was on the B-side. But then by late summer, people started discovering Frenesi, and it became a sensation. It was the best-selling record for an amazing 13 consecutive weeks. But finally, it was cooling off, and it was down to number 4 this weekend in 1941. As we say, some of the greatest music of all time is right here on Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times. I'm your host, Craig Orndorff. Today, we've gone back to the end of March in 1941. Now let's take a quick look at sports. In college basketball, Wisconsin defeated Washington State for the NCAA title 39-34, led by center Gene England and guard Johnny Cotts. Seton Hall had a 42-game winning streak, but it was snapped in the NIT semifinals by Long Island, and LIU went on to the title, beating Ohio University. NHL, Boston won the regular season, but the Bruins had to come back to beat Toronto in the semifinals. Then they swept Detroit for the Stanley Cup. Boxing, Joe Louis is the heavyweight champion. He kept his title with 3 wins in the first 3 months of the year. Coming up this week, the Masters. And Craig Wood went wire to wire, 6 under 66 for the opening round, and he won by 3 over Byron Nelson. Spring training baseball, Joe DiMaggio was a holdout. He wanted more than the $25,000 the Yankees had offered. A lot of fans didn't appreciate that because many were still suffering from the Depression, but he ultimately agreed to the $25,000 and would have the 56-game hitting streak this season. And Bob Feller signed with the Indians for a reported $30,000. In today's money, he'd be below the minimum salary. And today, if a pitcher goes 5 innings, they throw a parade. But we're getting into commentary now, aren't we? That's a look at sports from this week in 1941. And back on the countdown now, we're up to number 3. Here's Xavier Cugat's orchestra, Perfidia. Thank you. Xavier Cugat and his Waldorf Astoria Orchestra with Perfidia. At its peak of number 3 this week, 1941. Well, on the Billboard sales chart this week, there were 4 instrumentals inside the top 10. We've heard 3 of them, and here's the 4th. At number 2, Glenn Miller does The Song of the Volga Boatman. Another classical song given a jazz treatment, a quasi-classical, I guess, The Song of the Volga Boatman, done there by the Glenn Miller Orchestra with the arrangement by Bill Finnegan. That was a previous number 1, sitting at number 2 this week, 1941. And by the way, back in February, Downbeat Magazine reported that Glenn Miller had inked a new 3-year contract with RCA Victor. It was the biggest record deal up to that time. It guaranteed Glenn $750 per side. That would be almost $17,000 today. Well, what was the number 1 song this week in 41? We'll find out next on Seems Like Old Times. Back on Seems Like Old Times, coming down the home stretch, and I want to remind you about our website, oldtimesradio.com. Seems Like Old Times is on Facebook and X, and the email to get in touch, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. Well, today our entire show has been dedicated to the final weekend of March in 1941. Now we'll have the best-selling record from that weekend in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to spin the song that was number 1 on Billboard's radio chart. It's played here by the Hal Kemp Orchestra. It All Comes Back to Me Now. Thank you.
so lost and blue. Why does my heart wander aimlessly the whole night through? It all comes back to me now. A starry summer sky, a laughing you and I alone. It all comes back to me now. A sea of midnight blue, your face uplifted to my own. We call it a thrill of the moment and blame the moon up above. We didn't know what the glow meant. We never dreamed it might be love. It all comes back to me now. The love I threw away, and now each lonely night I pray that it will all come back to me someday.
Hal Kemp and his orchestra featuring Bob Allen, It All Comes Back to Me Now. Sadly, Hal Kemp had passed away on December 21, 1940, as a result of a car crash in California. And one of the most popular band leaders of the 1930s was only 36 years old. And that recording was made just 10 days before Hal Kemp's passing. And the Platter made it to number 5 on the bestsellers chart back in February. The song was number 2 on your hit parade this weekend, but most played on radio, according to Billboard magazine, this week in 41. And now, we are up to the best-selling song from this week in 1941, and our number one news story. Of course, it's World War II. And here in the U.S. this weekend, we took some foreign ships at our ports.
Wartime drama in American waters. Coast Guardsmen at Norfolk speed to take Axis ships into protective custody. In a dozen harbors, they're boarded without warning to prevent widespread sabotage and possible scuttling. 70 German and Italian vessels are seized. A tip that Rome ordered their destruction led to the U.S. government's swift countermove. Some 875 Huns and Wops are rounded up when undeniable evidence of a systematic attempt to wreck all machinery is disclosed.
That was from the British Pathé newsreel. We also took a number of Danish ships as well. You know, this past week in Vienna, Prince Paul, the regent of Yugoslavia, said his kingdom would join the Axis. Well, the people of Yugoslavia were against that, and upon his return, he was overthrown in a bloodless coup. And people declared that King Peter II, who was just 17 years old, was ready for full sovereign power. Well, Hitler was furious, so next weekend he would invade Yugoslavia. A couple weeks after that, the country surrendered, and Peter and his ministers went into exile. But the most important development recently was the passing of the Lend-Lease Act.
Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
Now, the time element is of supreme importance. Every plane, every other instrument of war, old and new, every instrument that we can spare now, we will send overseas, because that is the common sense of strategy.
Churchill asked for help, and America responded with Roosevelt signing the Lend-Lease Act on March 11, 1941. And here in this final weekend of March in 41, on top of the Billboard bestsellers chart was the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra, Amapola.
A boy found a dream upon a distant shore. A maid with a way of whispering, si, senor. Each night, while guitars would softly play, the tune seemed to dance round the words that he'd say. Amapola, my pretty little poppy, you're like that lovely flower, so and heavenly. Since I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charms from you. Amapola, Amapola, how I long to hear you say, I love you.
I found you, my heart is wrapped around you, and loving you it seems to be a rhapsody. Amapola, the pretty little poppy, must copy its endearing charms from you.
That's the first recording by the Jimmy Dorsey Band using the three-part formula. First, a ballad from Bob Eberle, then an instrumental transition to the up-tempo finish by Helen O'Connell. That was a Latin song from the 1920s, but reworked into a blockbuster, zooming to number one for J.D. and the band. And Amapola was spending the first of 10 weeks at number one on this very day in 1941. Well, that's it, my friends. We gotta go. We'll see you next week here on Seems Like Old Times.